Family, this great church, it's our honor to be here, and looking forward to what the Holy Ghost is going to do tonight. How many's come to have a move of God? More importantly, how many's come to respond? The story of one of my heroes of preachers, Brother Tim Copeland, evangelized many years and tells the story of being in an extended revival for weeks upon end. Seemed like nothing was happening, nothing was breaking. He'd preach everything he knew how to preach. Nothing would move. People weren't responding. People weren't getting the Holy Ghost. Said it was very dead, very dry. But he said, I don't remember what I was preaching, but the fifth or sixth week of revival, I was preaching along. And all of a sudden, an old elder stepped out of her pew, started screaming and shouting and getting loose in the Holy Ghost. Place went up in smoke. They had five or six get the Holy Ghost that night. I want to encourage somebody tonight in just a few moments. I wonder what would happen if somebody would step out in faith and respond to God's Spirit. Amen. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. So we've got God's people over here and the enemy of God's people over here, and there's a valley in between them. But they were fighting for something very important. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. I'm not going to be very long, but I hope that the Holy Ghost will have his way. Would you lift your hands? Let's ask God to move in this place tonight. Somebody put your hands together and give God a great hand clap of praise. He's worthy of our worship tonight. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We praise you today, Savior. We lift you up. We magnify. We exalt thee, O Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You can be seated if you promise not to stay there. Amen. In battle, every minute of detail is thought out. Everything that armies do is accounted for. The strategies of war are endless. We find from history even men like Alexander the Great and Attila the Hun. We're well-versed in the art of war, and to the naked eye, it would seem as if in the heat of the fight, two opposing groups of men gathered in the same area and fight until there's a winner. But there's much more going on that's not the case. For example, I'm kind of a history buff. In the Civil War, there were strategic points where the Union or the Confederacy would attack that lended strategic dominance. They would often attack towns that held passage routes for railways and supplies to be distributed to the rest of the army. And during one turning point of the Civil War, while a major part of the Union Army was tied up in an effort to besiege the Confederate garrison at Vicksburg, Robert E. Lee of the South, the general, felt that If he marched into the heart of the North, it would bring victory and relieve a very war-battered Virginia soul. Robert E. Lee assembled 72,000 Confederate soldiers and marched north. In response, the Union Army marched toward Gettysburg. General Grant knew that he had to stop them from walking into the heart of the North. So to liken this to where we're living tonight, to make this applicable to you and I want to tell you, Pentecost is fighting a war. We are fighting an adversary that seeks to end our advancement on the world. Satan is the head of hellish powers and demons that wage war on God's people. They wage war on God's church. And I want to tell you tonight, there is a reason. There is a rhyme to everything that the devil does. Our adversary is not ignorant, nor is he stupid. He's not all-knowing, but neither is he a fool. And he will attack us. He will attack you. He will attack the ministry. He will attack saints of God, young people, elders, pastors, preachers, their wives and children. And sometimes the things we think of as happenstance or coincidence are actually planned and purposed. Attacks of our adversary. Oftentimes when a spirit of revival will begin to birth, all of a sudden spirits of doubt and criticism, backbiting, and disunity in the people of God amongst our brothers and sisters will rise up. Sickness and fear will rear its ugly head. Satan will attack your finances. He'll attack your home. He'll attack your marriage. And it's all strategic and in a plan to thwart the will of God for his people and for this church. But we're not ignorant to the devil's devices. I'm telling you tonight, there has never been a time like there is now. We're facing things we've never encountered before. The devil's very upfront. He's in our face with the things he tempts us with. Many things I could talk about tonight. Many things I could bring to your attention. But the main thing the Lord's been dealing with me about this week is that churches all across this country, we are fighting to maintain our identity in this ever-progressive, ever-moving world. Society's pressuring us. They're pressuring Pentecost to no longer draw lines of black and white, to compromise absolutes, to make room for indifference. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Come on, it's that spirit that says it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter what we believe. Come on, we're all in this thing together. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. There is still one Lord. Come on, somebody ought to help me out tonight. There's still one faith. There's still one baptism. There's still one God. I thank God for truth tonight. I am not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed to be a one God, Jesus' name, apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, born again, set free, redeemed, delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I'm not ashamed to dance. I'm not afraid to lift my hands. I don't know how the world does what they do. Come on, but I'm glad when I come to the house of the Lord, I've got a praise on my lips, a shout in my voice, and a dance in my feet. Media news. They make the church out to be haters of any walk of life besides their own. That in order for us to be loving, we've got to accept sin. We've got to accept perversion. They say we're just judgmental. These are blatant in your face situations. Therefore, easily confronted. I don't believe we're in any danger. But one thing I feel like we're fighting from the religious world is that Pentecost has got to be seeker friendly. Let me say this. I believe in being modern and up to date with the things that we do. It's important to be inviting and approachable to those who are seeking Jesus. But it's another thing entirely if we lose the essence of who we are in order to gain favor with the world. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not interested in the world's acceptance. I'm an Israelite. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm an apostolic. We don't have to compromise on truth to have revival. We don't have to back up and water it down. God's coming back for a bride that is without spot, that is without wrinkle, that is without blemish. Is there anybody tonight that still believes in the new birth message? Is there anybody tonight that still believes that without holiness, no man can see the Lord? And I still believe in praise. I said I still believe in praise. It is no accident that the Philistine army came and set up their men at Shoko and Azekah, the boundary of blood. God's people in the army of God was the only thing standing in between the Philistines and a road straight to Bethlehem. There were two mountains, and between them a valley. The Philistines and Goliath at the base of one side, God's people and Saul on the other. The army of Israel was afraid of that giant that was over 9 feet tall. They were hiding in a cave, but Jesse sent a little shepherd boy who was not afraid of the giant. He sent a little boy named David to check on his brothers. And what Goliath did not know is that David was not a warrior, but he was a worshiper. So Saul, the mighty king of Israel and the people of God, were buffaloed by a giant for 40 days, and he used nothing but his voice. David knew that he could not let Goliath and the Philistines take that mountain of Judah because it led straight to the heart of Bethlehem. I want to tell you tonight that the enemy of our soul, he's got a pattern since the days of David and Goliath. Judah in praise is always first on his list. I believe with all of my heart that we've got to realize the onslaught of attack that's being unleashed on demonstrative praise and demonstrative worship. Some time ago, a friend of mine and myself, we were at a large Pentecostal gathering. There were many, many people there. Friday night, the preacher was preaching on the oneness of God. He was preaching about how God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was talking about the God that spoke the world into existence was the same God that walked on earth and died for our sins. The Holy Ghost began to move. God swept through that place. My friend and I, we got to feeling the Holy Ghost. We took off running the aisles like we did tonight in pews, in sections of people. They were laughing at us. They began to chuckle to themselves. I don't even want to imagine what they were thinking. I'll never forget the longest day that I live. I felt so sorry for them. They did not realize that the spirit of Michael had invaded its way into their spirit. It's a shame to go to church and never see anybody shout, never see anybody dance, never see anybody run the aisles, never see anybody roll in the floor. It may be radical, it may be extreme, but so is the world that we're living in. You go to a football game, you go to a hockey game. As a matter of fact, you can go to any concert. There'll be people screaming. They'll be jumping up and down. They'll be running around shouting. With everything that they have, they are being demonstrative. They're getting loose, worshiping their God. I'm not ashamed of being Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed of when I begin to preach, the sweat rolls down my forehead. I'm not ashamed that when I'm in the house of the Lord, I don't know. Come on. I don't know if there's anybody tonight that feels what I feel, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me,
Come on, that's it. God, God help us. If the world out worships us, I love all kinds of music. I love all kinds of preaching. But there is a problem when we see a lack of demonstration and radicalism all across the board.
Musicians, you can get ready to come. It seems like the music in the way of the modern religious world, come on, in the church, they don't ever want to get outside the parameters of dignity and correctness. I love Hillsong as much as anybody, but folks, we still got to know how to get loose in the Holy Ghost. And if society in the world can get us to tone down our praise and worship, we lose our identity. We lose who we are. We lose our connection to the power and the presence of God. I've not come with a revelatory message, but I've come in defense of wild, radical Holy Ghost praise. God help us if we let the world outpraise us. God help us if they're more passionate about the things of the world then we are the things of God. And I don't intend to let a carnal mindset and way of thinking dictate the way I praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I come in defense of the demonstrative tonight. Since when did we become smarter and more spiritual than our elders before us? You may wonder why I'm preaching this, but there are people on apostolic pews that turn their nose up to the way we shout, to the way we dance, to the way we run the aisles. They say it's cultural. It's not cultural. It's in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what's happened. The Philistines have encamped on our praise. I thank God for revelation and intellect. But you can intellectualize the Holy Ghost right out of a church if you constantly nitpick and criticize the way we praise the Lord, the passion and the emotion that we use to do so. Our forefathers before us, they may have not had everything figured out, but you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who prayed and fasted as much as they did. There ain't nothing wrong with the way we do things. The old-timers, they had something figured out. That when the praises go up, oh, praise the Lord. I said when the praises go up, the glory comes down. When the praises go up, the glory comes down. Let's lift our hands all across this building tonight. I'm preaching to people tonight that you've got problems, you've got issues, you've got doubts, you've got sickness, you've got pain. You may be fighting a negative critical spirit. There may be murmuring in the tents. Come on, a spirit of gossip, depression and weariness may have you bound, but you're one shout away from getting the victory tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I gave up on preaching fancy thoughts a long time ago, but I come with a word. For somebody in this house, you've let the Philistines encamp on your praise. That's why some of you ain't responding right now. I'm telling you tonight, you need to get out of your pew and get loose in the Holy Ghost. Where's the tambourine at? I need a tambourine. I'm going to tell you what's happened. I saw on social media just the other day, I believe it was a page called Church of Laugh. They've got a few funny things on there, but a majority of what they have is Pentecostal people. They'll video it and they'll repost it. There'll be thousands of comments laughing and making fun of the way we worship. Worship viewed through a window always looks foolish. Worship viewed through a window always looks silly. But there's a Goliath, there's a giant standing at the base of our Judah tonight.
He's echoing his voice. He's laughing at the people of God. But I believe I'm in a church tonight that's not going to back up, because what you don't realize is right up through the mountain of Judah leads way to the heart of Bethlehem. Praise is in essence the heart of God's church. When we praise him, we invite his presence to step in. He inhabits the praises of his people. So this is what I got to say to the spirit of Michael that would laugh and make fun of us. Oh, praise. Praise ye the Lord. Come on. I wonder if somebody tonight, you're dry, you're cold, you're lethargic. You need to get loose in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I wish I had some elders tonight that would help us. Come on, everybody, let's come out of these pews. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Come on, I can see David coming down that mountain. He was saying, Goliath, you can't have Judah. Judah belongs to God. Goliath, you may be tall. You may be a giant. You may be a warrior, but I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm anointed. I know how to worship. You ought to let God fight your battle tonight. There's some people in this house tonight. You desperately need to move. Come on, let's lift our hands and pray all across this building. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what place of life you find yourself at. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. You want to know why we preach about praise? You want to know why we preach about worship? When Michael was staring through that window, laughing at the king, he told her, you think that's crazy? I'm going to get more vile than this. God struck her with barrenness. She never had another baby the longest day she lived. You want me to see a church that people's getting the Holy Ghost in? You show me a church that knows how to worship. You show me a church that knows how to praise. You show me a church that knows how to shout. I wonder tonight if somebody would get out of your comfort zone and get loose. Come on. You need to put that pride to the side and get loose in the Holy Ghost. Friend, I can't do it for you, but if you'll get in the presence of God, you might just get your miracle tonight. Oh! No, 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 no. on, why don't you join up? Take your neighbor by the hand. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to begin to praise the Lord together. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let it be said of the Pentecostals of Broken Arrow that we are not ashamed to praise ye the Lord. Come on. I hear the sound of victory tonight. You ought to take your neighbor by the hand and shake him in the Holy Ghost. It's time to get loose. I said it's time to get loose. That's it. I wish I had some elders tonight. You're not too old to shout. You're not too old to dance. It feels like old time Pentecost in this house tonight. There's something that happens. I believe God wants to do something in this house tonight. I need a couple elders to come to the front of this sanctuary right now. A couple of elders that are not afraid to praise the Lord. Come on. Can I get a couple young people? Some of you elders and the men, get with these young men. Some of you elder ladies, get with the young ladies. God's fixing to pass something down. We need to raise a generation that knows how to shout, that knows how to dance, that knows how to get a hold of God. You ought to take somebody that's in a different generation than you and praise the Lord with them tonight. Come on. You ought to shout and get loose. Oh, we've come in defense of the demonstrative tonight. We're not going to let it die. Oh, I just can't stop. Can't stop. Oh, I just. I think it'd be all right if they had to carry a few of us out of here. I think it'd be all right if somebody got drunk in the Holy Ghost. I think it'd be all right to have an old-fashioned apostolic red hot move of the Spirit. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harps. Praise Him with the timbrel. And praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments. Oh, and organs. Praise Him on the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. If you've got breath in your body tonight, you ought to give God a sacrifice of praise. Come on, these singers, they've led us into worship. We're going to give an opportunity for everybody that wants to get loose in the Holy Ghost. You ought to get with your husband. You ought to get with your wife. Mom and daddy, you ought to grab your baby by the hand. We are not going to let demonstrative praise. We're not going to let demonstrative worship die in our midst. Come on, this is the sound of revival. This is the sound of revival. Oh, somebody lift your voice without the rhythm of the drum. Somebody lift your voice without the rhythm of the piano. Somebody lift your voice without the organ. I can't explain it. I don't know everything about it. But when we begin to praise the Lord and invite His glory down, and get loose and shout and dance and worship, it's like the miraculous just steps in the building. If you need something from God, this is the environment, this is the atmosphere where you can get your touch you need. If you're that way tonight, you ought to throw your hands in the air. You ought to throw your hands in the air. Lift your voice and ask God to move on your behalf tonight. Who in this house needs something from God? Who in this house needs the Lord to step in? Who in this house needs the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost to flow in your life? You ought to give Him a praise tonight. He inhabits the praises of His people. You want to know why we feel Him the way we do tonight? We're giving Him a place to dwell. We're inviting His presence in this house.